Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Well, I'm here in Uganda, in Kampala, with my very good friend, Julius, Pastor Julius.
Yeah, Rotlonyo. I'll help you with that one.
Thank you. Thank you. And we've got birds and monkeys all around us.
That's Kampala, man.
It is Kampala. Pastor Julius took over from Gary Skinner at the Watoto Church, famous church all around the world, mostly for its children's work, it's known. Yeah. And you have, how many children are you looking after?
3,000 children in our children's homes, 3 children's villages.
And what do you do for them?
Man, we take care of them from when we rescue them. And that's our job. We rescue them from babies that have been abandoned, left in pit latrines, left at police stations, and we rescue them. Others will come maybe because their mom was abandoned and they've come to find a job at Watoto. And we've been doing that for almost 30 years now. Place them in a home, rebuild their lives again in a family. So they have a foster mother, 8 children in a little home, and they form a little community. And they will have school, medical, church. But here's the deal, Phil. Mm-hmm. The goal is to raise them to be leaders, godly, transformational leaders that will rebuild Africa. That's the goal at the end of the day.
That is so amazing. Yeah, and the fact that you rescue them and bring them through now, sponsors relate to these children, don't they, from the West?
They do, and it's such a joy. It shows the impact of the body of Christ. Watoto would never be able to do what we do if it wasn't for the collaborative efforts of believers all across the world that just believe in the heart of Jesus, that if we take care of the least of these, then we're really doing what pleases Jesus' heart. And so that's what we do. And so we're so grateful that we get to do it as the body of Christ. We just happen to be the frontline, you know, foot soldiers.
So good.
Doing the actual care. Yeah.
So good. And the fact is that the famous Watoto Children's Choir is not just one choir.
It's not just one choir.
I always thought it was one choir traveling around everywhere.
No.
But you told me just before that you've got 3 choirs going off to different parts in the world.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Right now. I mean, COVID stopped everything, but now we're back on the road. We have a choir in Canada. We have a choir heading to Brazil this week. We have one ready for the States in September. And so they're beginning to move. We have had over 100 choirs travel. That's over 1,000 children who have had a chance.
So there's 10 in each?
Almost 10, 15 choirs.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually take 10, 12, 15
1,000
children. 1,000 children. So that's about 100,
yeah, 100 choirs.
So, and this is part of discipleship.
Yeah.
This is part of training them to be the leaders, because leaders have to have vision.
Right.
They have to think of a future better than where they are. And if you think of where these children have come from and the context of where they've been rescued from, being able to go on the road and preach the gospel through song
and that's so
and
good.
Share their story just begins to help them believe that, you know what, if it can happen in another part of the world, it can happen right here
in
Uganda.
That's amazing. Yeah. And look, I've been in services with the kids, and honestly, some kids' choirs, well, you might wonder, you're kind of going, yeah, lovely, you know, cute. But these guys, they're good.
They're
good. Really good. World class.
They are. And here's the deal again, Phil. I know you know this. God is an excellent God.
Yes.
And sometimes it's sad when we give God second best or third best.
Right.
He deserves the very best. So excellence is one of the things we try to model.
Totally.
One of the things we try to express in everything we do, including the choir.
Right.
From the dressing, from the whole thought of the entire worship experience as people come in. It's all intended to help people have an encounter with Jesus. Actually, the choir. Many people think the choir is about raising sponsors.
Yeah.
That's a bonus.
Right.
Our real deal is to lift up the name of Jesus,
wow,
to tell the story of how he rescues vulnerable children and women, and he raises them to be leaders. And he can do the same for anybody who's lost. He will rescue us from our darkness,
yes,
and then he'll bring us into his kingdom of marvelous light.
So perfect.
That's what they're trying to say,
yeah,
wherever they go. And
yeah,
then we say to them, and by the way, you can be a part of this story.
Incredible. And those kids give their testimony.
They do.
I've heard them. So that makes them confident, bold.
It does.
And helps them train for ministry. But like you say,
yep,
they see for that with their own eyes,
yep,
in the West, and go to churches and see situations they never dreamed,
exactly,
of here, from here in Uganda. So like you say, that really disciples them into a mindset that they can do more.
Yep, they can do more. And just think of this, Pastor Phil. A child who never ever dreamed they will have an opportunity in life, even in Uganda, because they've lost one or both of their parents, now gets this opportunity, not just to have an education and discipleship and clothing and housing, but gets a chance to go out of Uganda, which is a big deal for
right,
them, and be able to tell their story and tell people about Jesus. And for the children, the highlight is this: when they see people respond to the gospel
right
after their presentation.
So powerful.
It's amazing. They begin to think, I can have an impact in another part of the world.
And this is like 12-year-olds.
12-year-olds, 8-year-olds.
Amazing.
It's amazing. It is
absolutely
honestly amazing what
now,
God can do.
I got to say, Julius, one of the things I've always admired about the Watoto work is that it actually isn't just a care center, even though you might be known for that all around the world. It actually is a local church.
It is a local church.
And it's actually a local church before it's a care center or anything else, right?
Absolutely.
And now you're the pastor.
Yes, and I have the privilege of doing that with my wife, Vanita. We have a tagline as Watoto: we celebrate Christ and we care for community.
Right.
Everything we do comes out of the local church.
Right.
The caring for the vulnerable children, the vulnerable women, whether it's building an agriculture school like we are building right now, whether it's restoring dignity to vulnerable women, you know, in our communities who are broken, and provide education for their kids, help empower them to get a job, help them with their health care, or even with their housing, what we call Watoto neighborhood. It all comes out of the local church. Our motivation is not just to care for them. It's Jesus.
Beautiful.
Who really cares about them, and we become his hands, his feet, which is really the body of
so
Christ.
So good.
It's all local church based.
Yeah, well, you're singing my tune. You're preaching to the choir because that's all we do. You know, and some people say, oh, you should take this and start a justice thing here or do it. And we actually partner with a number of justice groups and care groups, et cetera, around the world. But we also have our own. But all the time, I've found the main fountain for all that God is doing in the earth actually is the local church.
It is the local church. The tension is this, Pastor Phil, I believe, is that sometimes as pastors, we're so focused on discipling our people that when an idea to expand what the local church's impact can be beyond the four walls comes, some pastors, I think, tend to resist it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is some well-meaning believers, and they want to pursue these, start to do it outside of the local church.
Right.
And so I think it's a challenge for us pastors to have that apostolic mindset that says, yes, everything that is concerning compassion and care for people and schools and staff that can help community needs to have a base in the local church.
Right.
We don't have to do it.
No.
But you can get people. That's why it's not all about what the pastor can do.
Exactly.
But what a pastor equips others to do so they can find a place to do all those things. So that's what I think the tension
totally. No doubt. I would say the greatest limiter for the growth of the local of the church, what limits the growth of the church the most is insecure
leadership.
Pastors.
Yep,
so when a strong woman is in the church and has a small group and it grows and grows and grows to 100 women turning up at her house each week, it makes the pastor nervous.
A little bit nervous.
And she says, can I use the church instead of my home? And he's like, no. You know? So she jumps over the wall.
Yep.
And starts a women's ministry.
There you go.
At their youth, you know, gets a big thing going on.
Yeah.
And it's no longer the pastor who's at the center. It's the youth and all this stuff. And they say, well, can we take over a Sunday service? Do it. He's like, no, that's my territory. So bomb over the wall, men's ministry, business ministry. Yeah. We've seen it all. So when a pastor is secure and unthreatened, he says, absolutely. And when you help other people be successful, it shines back.
So
if you're looking for that, it's only going to help you, and it helps build the kingdom. And so let's all get secure, leaders. Let's be a little more permission giving and celebrating our people's success.
That's what a pastor should do. You're a father. You're a spiritual father. No good father wouldn't want their children to thrive.
Right.
You bless them, but you still remain dad.
Right.
You release them, but you still remain dad.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need to be as pastors.
Totally.
Fathers who look out and see the potential in people and the call of God in them, and you guide them, and you become a place of encouragement and accountability.
Totally.
And really, it blesses the body of Christ if we keep it like that.
Now, just one last question, which might take a couple minutes to discuss, because Gary and Marilyn Skinner, they ran Wototo for, 30 years?
40 years. 40 years.
And then in February of this year, 2023, passed it on to you. And it's a more rare than common experience that a transition is successful in church life. So why do you think yours has been so successful?
It's hard to say. Of course, there's the God part in it. But let me talk about the intentional leadership that Gary had. He was a very empowering leader. He knew exactly what God had asked him to do when he called him to Uganda, and it was to raise leaders. And he's been doing that. And Gary used to share with us, as pastors, say, my greatest success is not the campuses or the childcare and the women's program. All those are great. My greatest success is the team of leaders that I'm raising. Hmm. And he said this, he added this on. He said, you're not just leaders, but you're sons.
Oh, beautiful.
And the greatest joy of a dad
is
to see their sons grow and take on what dad has been doing.
Totally.
So we've had that beautiful relationship. Our journey with Gary, my journey, Anita and I with Gary, has been a journey of intentional mentorship for this moment for almost 12 years.
Wow.
And then became official 5 years ago.
Wow.
Where he made it known to everybody in the church and in the leadership that in their hearts they sensed it was Vanita and myself who should take Wototo to the next step. So we had a 5-year journey of again working together where Gary took a step back and he let us lead. And he was just dad on the side encouraging.
Okay.
And so
that is so good. So good.
It
because what is it? Did you say 50 campuses?
15.
15.
Yes.
And other
50 is gonna count.
Yeah. But that's a lot. That's a lot of people. And 3,000 people, right?
3,000 children. Church is about 35,000 who come to all our locations in person, and then the online is another
35,000 people in churches. Yeah. So that is a big operation to take on. So the gradual slide into that position is obviously the best way for you to have assumed that.
Absolutely. You know what? At some point we thought, is 5 years too long? But it was just right for us.
Right.
And you know what, Pastor Phil? I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all.
Right.
Every context is different.
Right.
Some may need a year. Some it could take 6 months.
Right.
Some would take 5 years. But the whole idea is a process that allows the new leader to take on leadership without kicking out the father.
Right.
You know, there's this idea of kick out the dad and then we take on what we do.
Do our new thing.
It doesn't work. Strengthen. There has to be that intergenerational strength of leadership that releases the next generation and honors the founders, the ones who have carried it for all those years.
Okay, so Julius, if people wanted to get in touch with you and help with childcare or support the church in any way from anywhere around the world, where would they go?
Wototo.com.
Okay,
Wototo.com. Find all the information there.
And you'll find where you can actually be a partner and help out this magnificent work of God that's proven to be such a success in helping young people, building the church in Uganda, all around the world. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.